This is Cityscape. We're still in our soundbite segment with LaGaia Figueres from Sauce Magazine. And in the minutes we have remaining, LaGaia, I'm very sad to say on a personal note that this is sort of goodbye to you because you have – I'm happy for you, though, because you have this exciting new adventure ahead. What's going on in your life?
I do. Next month, I will be moving to Atlanta, and I'm going to join the Atlanta Journal-Constitution as its food and dining editor.
That sounds like a great job. Congratulations.
Thank
you. Are you familiar with Atlanta?
No, not really, just its airport.
Really?
So I am studying maps right now a lot.
So do they have a special section or what's
yeah,
and that paper, by the way, is sort of it's an old historic paper. It's like our Post-Dispatch, I guess.
It's kind of like that. Well, it's the combination of two dailies that joined into one in the mid-90s. But yes, I've been around for some time. And just like our daily paper, you have your weekly food section. You've got your a food column in the Sunday, for example, and then, the reviews, the restaurant reviews, and, of course, all of the online content.
Well, we wish you all the best in that.
Oh, thank you very much.
But how did it all begin for you here in St. Louis? I think you've been at Sauce Magazine for something like 7 years.
I know.
What were you doing before that?
Primarily, writing for everybody. I got started in publishing in, 2000, and actually I started as a textbook editor for foreign language books.
Really?
Yes.
Well, you started, I won't say at the bottom at Sauce, but you did work your way up.
Well, one certainly begins as a freelancer for, publications.
Uh-huh.
That's pretty typical, I think, sometimes. But yeah, I started writing for Sauce. My first article came out in January of 2008. And actually, what was really fun about that is it landed on the cover, which was sort of fun. Yeah, super unexpected. And then it's also unexpected to a few years later, I joined them on staff as their staff writer. And then a couple of years ago, took over as their executive editor.
Well, I'm sure that you've developed a lot of close relationships there. And I'm sure, as excited as you are to go, part of you is a little sad to say goodbye,
huh? I love working at Sauce. Everybody that knows me knows how much I love the magazine. It's very much a privilege to work there. And the job that we do, it's phenomenal to be able to, cover food and dining in St. Louis. And we have such a fabulous scene right now. It's really been neat to watch that over the last 7 years.
I'm going to indulge you since this is your last segment with us. Anybody that you'd like to give a shout out to?
Well,
maybe the list is too long. I don't know.
Well, we need to start by saying thank you to KWMU. Not that Soundbites is ending, but we love our partnership here. I'm going to miss you, Steve. But it's been really fun to be able to share with your listeners something similar that we do in print. I need to give a shout out to Sauce publisher Allison Mace. She's the founder, publisher, and the owner of the magazine. And without her, Sauce wouldn't exist. The magazine has really become to be a recognized name around the country, and it's a brand that, it attracts, amazing to me that it attracts thousands of people to Food Truck Friday, that's the power of Sauce right now, and that's the interest level for St. Louis people for the food scene. And honestly, I really need to thank especially my family and my husband, Joe, in particular, who agreed that working as the food and dining editor of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution was an opportunity we really needed to say yes to. And I couldn't ask for a more supportive family as we start a new chapter.
Well, looking back in the minutes we have remaining, let's just kind of recap your whole career in a few minutes.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, we can try.
So you've been writing for Sauce for something like 7 years.
Yeah, 7+ years.
Of all the food trends and things like that that you've covered, what comes to mind as the most interesting or exciting?
Okay, the one that got the most goofy crazed out of things were when we talked about the pickleback. And this was in January of 2014. And the pickleback was a trend, particularly on the East Coast, super hipster thing. But you could do it still at Quincy Street Bistro. And so you order your beer, you get a shot of moonshine, and then you down it with you follow it with pickle juice. So this whole pickleback thing, people.
And that was good?
I wrote about it. I reported on it. I didn't say that I'm a consumer of picklebacks, but, that happened. I think what's been really interesting to see on the baked goods side, we're going from cupcakes to cronuts, which, you know, is a mix of a donut and a croissant, to donuts is, you know, much bigger now. And then as a subsect, just to chat about cronuts for a second, there's so many mashups happening. And if I can just be a little bit critical, it sort of annoys me. Just make one dish or the other. Why do you have to just
all these years on this program and you're finally annoyed?
I finally get to actually give an opinion here on this stuff. So anyway, yeah, that's something. That's some trends.
Hey, well, what about some of the articles that you've written? Any standout?
Yeah. Two. The one that got published last year in November 2014, we had him on this program. Actually, it was called Shaken, and it was about a bartender named Joel Clark here in town. He lost his sense of smell. That took 9 months to research, and I know you talked about him actually in your column for the Alton Telegraph last week. I mean, the fact that it took so long was because Joel was willing to share his journal with me over a period of time, and I'm just very grateful that he was that open and really let me and readers into what was probably a very difficult journey for him, and it still is.
Yeah, I've started a column for the Alton Telegraph, and I wrote about him because he made such an impression on me,
yeah.
And I thank you for introducing me
to
him.
No, you bet. That was really neat. You know, the other one, too, that was really the two are just pretty personal. In January 2012, we did a piece called From Poland with Love, and I would say from my own, you know, as a writer, it was the most personal that I have been in sharing about myself. And that was a story about my quest to make pierogi for my father, the way that his Polish mother, who's deceased and had been for some time, the way she made it for him. What's nice to me now looking back is that he passed away earlier this year. And so it's not a regret that I'm ever going to have. It's a wonderful memory and keepsake to have written that piece. And then my favorite all-time issue, since I know you were going to ask, mm-hmm. The Insider, when we did that themed issue in March of 2014, I just think it was super smart to talk about what it means figuratively and literally what it is to be an insider. That was fun to do.
And I'd be negligent if I didn't thank you for all the free food you brought in here
the
years.
Oh, they're still going to keep coming.
I hope so.
Oh, yeah.
Well, let me ask you this then. You've met a lot of interesting people. Well, let me back up.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Lehman was telling us what he thought of the St. Louis dining scene. What do you think, and what do you think the future is here?
Oh, I think Jeff is spot on with so many of his observations. You know, when he did talk about us in comparison to other cities, one thing that he didn't mention was the value in terms of these types of menus that you're seeing here in town. And, you know, you're going to see some comparable stuff in some major cities and at very fine establishments around the country. But there is such a value here. What you're going to pay for, like, you know, a 3-course meal in St. Louis, say at some of those set price, you know, at $30 or $35.
So for parking.
Oh, my gosh. Exactly. You're going triple somewhere else. And I don't know if diners realize how lucky we are to have that.
All right. Who in St. Louis, if you could just name a couple, who are the ones to watch?
Okay. No, I'm just going to give you one. Let's be definitive. Sure. One person who I really would keep on your radar, and you can go there very soon, Steve. His name is Matt Doaday, and a few years ago, he was one of our ones to watch list. I love looking at people who I think are really finding their voice. When I think about a school of painting, you've learned and learned to imitate the master. Well, his master would be Gerard Craft, and Matt Doaday was working at Taste in the Central West End. Now he's opening his own place called Reed's American Table. That's in Maplewood. It's opening just in a matter of weeks. And I think he's really found his style, and I'm excited for what he's going to do.
I want to make one thing clear. The soundbite segment is going to continue.
Absolutely. You're going to hear numerous voices from Sauce, and we're thrilled that all of them are going to be. LaGaia will stop hogging the microphone now, I guess.
Hey, I've really enjoyed knowing you, LaGaia. LaGaia Figueres has been the executive editor of Sauce Magazine. She moves at the end of the month to Atlanta. And what's your job title again there?
I am the food and dining editor of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you so much.
And one final question for you, and I'm very serious. Do you intend to introduce Provel cheese or gooey butter cake to Atlanta?
On Provel, that's to be determined. Gooey butter cake, that's easy enough to share, yes.
LaGaia Figueres, thanks. It's been so much fun being your friend. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Steve.
Coming up next, the Gesher Music Festival. This is St. Louis Public Radio.